Se viene el final, atención, va a ganar. ¡Ganó!
El mexicano estaría anunciando su fichaje en las próximas horas.
Vamos a los acontecimientos en un circuito súper exigente de 6 kilómetros.
La victoria de Hamilton lo deja apenas a 7 de las 91, el récord de Michael Schumacher.
Y allí ingresa Checo Pérez al corralito, luego de un gran premio de Mónaco apasionante.
Fórmula Latina.
¿Qué tal, amigos de Fórmula Latina? Es un gusto saludarlos en este bonus track especial previo a lo que se nos viene este fin de semana cuando cierra la temporada de la Fórmula 1, pero hay muchos temas más de qué hablar más allá de lo que se nos viene en estos días, mirando más en el horizonte al próximo año, a la temporada de la Fórmula E que ya se acerca. Y hoy tenemos como invitado especial, por cortesía de Shell, a un piloto que ha estado en toda la historia de la Fórmula E. Está desde la primera temporada, fue campeón de la segunda temporada, 2015-2016, y tiene un palmarés muy variado. Ha sido campeón en múltiples disciplinas, ha tenido un 2020 muy positivo y se alista ya para lo que será algo inédito en la historia de la Fórmula E, arrancar la temporada en Latinoamérica. Well, Sebastián Buemi, how are you, first of all?
I'm very good, and you?
We're doing great. So I introduce you to our panel with Giselle, with Christian, with Juan, and all our listeners and viewers from around Latin America, and let's say también always the US and Spain, people from all over speaking Spanish tune, but this is a good opportunity to speak in English and enter other markets as well. So as I was saying in Spanish, first of all, it's going to be the first time that Formula E kicks off its season in Latin America. It's going to be important for us Latin Americans. So how are you feeling ahead of traveling to Santiago? Are you ready for it?
Yes, of course, I'm ready. We've just had the testing in Valencia. It's what we call the official testing with all the teams together. Obviously, as you can imagine, it's not very representative compared to Santiago. Santiago is going to be in a park, and it's going to be a completely different track. We're going to drive on concrete and asphalt, and it's very bumpy. So let's say it's very difficult to learn anything from the official test we've done in Valencia. But we've been there now in Santiago. I think it's the fourth time we go in Santiago in total. And it's very nice to start the season there, because every time we go there, obviously, the atmosphere is amazing, lots of fans. Okay, this year it might be very different with the COVID, but I really enjoy going there in general. And, you know, I didn't get the opportunity with Formula One much other than Brazil and the WEC. But with Formula E, we seem to, you know, love going to South America, and it's kind of cool.
Hi, Seb. You're entering your seventh season in Formula E, always with Nissan Edams. You already told us a bit, but how did the pre-season test go?
Yes, so I'm obviously back with Nissan Edams. I've been with the team obviously since Nissan came into the championship in season 5, and even before that when we used to be Renault. So it's my seventh year with the same team, so I know them very well. You know, last year we started the season and it was quite difficult, but we finished very strongly in Berlin. I had 3 podiums and I finished 4th in the championship, very close to P2. Just missed out for 2 points. So I hope to start the season a bit like we finished season 6. We decided to stick to the powertrain of season 6 to start the season with. Due to COVID and all these kind of things, we had the opportunity. We have to homologate the new car for 2 seasons, season 7 and 8. So we had the possibility to come with the new car directly for Santiago, or to come a little bit later, normally Rome, when we go back to Europe, and we decided to put the powertrain of season 7 and 8 a bit later. So hopefully reliability will be strong, obviously, to start the season with. And, you know, to go into details of the test, we've looked at all the improvement we've done on the software, trying to, how can I say, validate all the improvement. And hopefully what we bring is going to be performant enough, you know, to fight for the wins.
Sebastian, hello. We are talking about new season is coming, but what will be the main changes Formula E faces into the new season?
To be honest, it's been a very stable regulation. Obviously, the big change came in season 5 with the Gen 2, the new car. we didn't have to stop anymore at the box, and we had a new way of racing, let's say, with the 45 minute plus one laps. Then it got a bit improved in season six when we had the full course yellow and all this kind of thing. We were reducing the energy. So for this year, we have no differences. There are some differences coming for season eight with more power, but for season seven, it's the same as season six. So I would say the particular of this season is to try to get the most out of the car. It's going to be into small details. We've seen in Valencia 24 cars in 5 tenths. So it just shows how much you have to go into details, how much you need to make sure you extract every single, you know, piece of energy and efficiency of your car, and hopefully, you know, do a good job in qualifying as you get only one lap, and then score as many points as you can throughout the season.
Okay, you has been one of the most successful drivers in Formula E. Which has been the most challenging of the championship for you? I mean, what was the main challenge of all these years in Formula E?
Yeah, I think in general, you know, every year is hard. You know, we keep saying, yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher. Of course, the competition is getting better, but obviously the teams and the drivers we were facing before were also very good. So I would say the particularity in Formula E is to be consistent, to score points. It becomes very difficult to dominate. I mean, we've had Antonio doing an amazing job last year, but somehow I don't expect this to happen again. Just because of the qualifying groups, you know, sometimes you start in group one, group two, or three, four, and this has a big effect on obviously your starting position because the circuit is evolving a lot. So the particularity is to try to be consistent throughout the season and not miss any opportunities to score points. And this has been the case, let's say, since season one.
You just mentioned your rivals, Antonio and Diaz. They won the championship for the past 2 years, a team championship. You finished runner-up with Nissan Idams. Actually, Idams dominated the first few years of Formula E, the first few seasons. What will it take for you to, after being runner-up last season, to make the jump and sort of cut this trend of domination from your rivals?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've seen, you know, we've won three championships together with Idams in the past, and now with Nissan. That was only our second season. So in season five, we finished fourth, and in season six, we finished second. But, you know, we know how hard it's going to be. You know, we have Mercedes, Porsche, BMW, Audi, very strong team coming with lots of resources. So I think what we need is to start the season well. It's been our weak point in season five and six. For example, last year, I scored 0 points in the first three races. So you can imagine that to finish fourth in the championship means we had a good end of the season. So if we can start already well, you know, and score points directly in Santiago, it's going to be very important, because also it's going to be a double header. So it means two races, one on a Saturday and one on a Sunday. And then we have exactly the same in Riyadh. So at the end of February, we will have done already four races, and it's very important that you already score from the beginning. If we manage to score all the time with the two drivers, then we have a chance, I think, to fight at the front. However, you know, it's very easy. We could have finished sixth in the championship last year. We finished second, but from second to sixth, not many points were separating the teams.
Seb, in the recent days, Audi and BMW announced that they will exit as manufacturers at the end of season seven. But Formula E has been perceived as the future of motorsports. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's always kind of, kind of sad when you read that the manufacturer is pulling from the championship. At the end of the day, you know, we still have plenty of manufacturers, like even more than all the other categories nearly put it together. And we know that there are more manufacturers that wants to enter. There are big rumors about other people coming in. So I think Formula E will manage to replace them soon. However, they were big names. So it's you know, it's difficult for me to comment. Obviously, so far Nissan is very committed to the championship, and we want to be successful, which is, from my point of view, the most important. But yeah, I'm sure Formula E will obviously discuss, learn, and come back stronger.
Looking at your own team and partners, what developments are taking place that are actually relevant to the wider industry and mobility?
Yeah, so when I look at our partners, we have obviously Shell is a very big partner of us. You know, they have a big heritage in motorsport. They've been there for something like 100 years, you know, so wow. It's kind of cool to have such a big name with us. And obviously we are trying to develop things that we will be able to put into the normal road cars in the future. We have the e-fluids as an example, but we have many other things obviously working on it.
Well, you mentioned Shell, no? And as you speak of Shell, so much history in motorsport as a fuel and lubricant supplier. How do you apply that technology to the Formula E?
Yeah, so basically, you know, people don't really understand that we still have some fluids in Formula E. You know, people expect us to say, hey, it's only an electric car, but we need some fluids, you know, and we are working on the efficiency. Efficiency in Formula E is everything, you know. So efficiency means you need to use the least energy possible to try to be fast. And clearly we are trying to develop lubricants and kind of fluids like the e-fluids that we can put in the powertrain to try to gain a little bit of something. You know, it's like in Formula One, they develop special fuels to try to gain power. Here, to some extent, is a bit the same. And we really try to develop those things because, as I said, you know, obviously in Formula One, 1 or 2 tenths, okay, it's important, but it's not like in Formula E. In Formula E, 5 tenths, you have 24 cars. So yes. Anything you can gain will obviously bring a big gain at the end result.
So what are some of the products, like say that for customers that you use that the partnership somewhat has helped to bring to life?
Yeah, so obviously Shell has Shell Recharge. You know, it's to charge very rapidly the electric cars. They have more and more stations, you know, and this electricity is 100% renewable. So it's kind of nice that Shell goes that road, basically. And again, you know, we are working, as I said before, a lot on the fluids at that one point, hopefully you'll be able to find in your electric cars.
In Formula One, bits of having a Shell moment for Ferrari, how close are we to see a fast charge pit stop in Formula E?
Yeah, so I don't really know exactly the latest on the new regulation of Formula E with the Gen 3, but apparently we will have very fast charging on the Gen 3 that is supposed to come in season 9. Yeah. So again, I think they're still discussing slightly the regulation and how they will implement it. But, you know, people, including Shell, are developing chargers that will be able to charge the battery very quickly.
Sebastian, speaking of the future of motorsport, Formula One and WEC have been increasingly leaning towards electric without fully relying on it. Nissan is very heavily on e-power. Can all these series coexist in the long term? Or are some destined to disappear? What do you think about it?
To be honest, I don't really know. I mean, Formula One remains the pinnacle of motorsport, and obviously it looks like, you know, obviously they have hybrid cars, and it looks like they will go toward different fuels in the future, renewable fuel, you know. But I don't really know. You know, now it looks like some manufacturers are entering the WEC again, you know, with the announcement we've seen last year. Formula One is doing quite good as well. Formula E is obviously doing very good. So it's a bit difficult to predict what's going to happen because, you know, I think in Formula E, the good point is that they've tried, the FIA and Formula E, to keep a strong link between road cars and obviously the race car. Where in some of the other categories, of course, you develop things in Formula One, but you develop lots of things that you will never be able to transfer into a normal road car. So it leans toward being more a show than a laboratory to develop things. So
Well, Seb, you know, for Mexico and Latin America has been a big week with big news, like Checo Perez winning for the first time in Formula One. What do you think about that achievement?
Well, you know, I know him since a long time because I think I raced Formula BMW with him in 2005. Yeah. You know, so it's been like 15 years. So I think, you know, he's obviously been since a very long time in Formula One. And I think he kind of deserved it. I mean, he should have been on the podium the week before when he broke the engine. So it's kind of nice to see this kind of redemption, you know, all of a sudden the week after he wins a race and even got spun around in turn four. He was last after the first lap, you know. So I think it's, he really deserved it. And somehow I hope he will stay in Formula One next year because, you know, it's sad that he doesn't have a drive after winning a race like that.
Sebastian, winning is never easy in any series, even less when you're racing at some of the top series in the world. But can a first win, like a maiden win, like Checo's win in Formula One last week, be a career changer, you think?
It's very hard to say, you know, because I don't think people need to judge him or judge. You shouldn't judge on the last race, obviously. I think... Obviously, it arrived at the right time. You know, if your objective it and he doesn't have a drive yet, obviously it's important to do well, and he's done well. So it can only be positive at the end of the day.
Diego mentioned it at the beginning. You have a lot of experience in many categories. So my question is, like, can you transfer knowledge from all the different things you drive, Formula E with Nissan, Formula One test, and WEC? How do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for a while now, and for example, I'm gonna drive on Tuesday the in Abu Dhabi in the F1 car, and I'm gonna be back in a WEC car very soon after the following day, and in January I'm driving the Formula E car. But somehow, you know, I've been in the same teams for a very long time, and it feels like at home. I mean, I said with Nissan, it's been. I mean, in the same team for 7 years, now 3 years with Nissan. So you kind of get used to things, and it feels like being back at home as soon as I sit in the car. So I don't have real problems to obviously adapt. But on the other hand, as well, I'm learning lots of things that sometimes, you know, things that I learn in the work, I can sometimes transfer into a Formula E and get our team stronger, you know. So far, it's been working okay.
And for Sebastian Buemi, how much is car, how much is driver, and how much is team in Formula One relative to Formula E, for example?
Oof, it's a tough question. I mean, clearly, in Formula One, it's clearly more the driver, the car than in Formula E. I mean, you've seen it last week with Russell, obviously a great driver, but you know, he's been at the back when he was driving the Williams 5 days earlier, and then he's on the front row and nearly winning the race 5 days later. So you see that obviously he's a fantastic driver, but the car is very important. And then in Formula E, what you see is that it's maybe one of the last championship where the driver is quite important, very important, I would say, even because you know, you've had like 8-9 different winners every year now for the last 2-3 seasons. And that shows how difficult it is to win. And everyone has more or less a car that is quite similar because you can only work on 25% of the car, which is the powertrain mainly. But all the rest is basically spec. Everyone has the same. So it's very difficult as a manufacturer to make a very big difference. Obviously, it's all about the details. But it's one of the last championships where the driver, the team, everything together is very important.
Well, you're only 32, super young, I mean, but at the same time, you're Formula E champion, WEC champion, 3 times Le Mans winner, 3 times consecutive times. And what else would you like to achieve in your career?
But I want to become a world champion in Formula E. You know, it's the first year that we're going to be called the world championship.
Okay.
It was an FIA. Championship, but now it's going to be a world championship, so it would be nice to obviously win it again. I finished 3 times second and I only won it once, so I would love to to win it again, it would be good. And obviously, you know, I in general, every time I compete in a race, it's to win, you know. So if I continue to compete in work, I want to win there as well. You know, I'm not just there to make up numbers.
Well, Sebastian, thank you very much for your time. Before we let you go, we in Formula Latina, we have a final portion of our podcast where we go through different anecdotes that we've had across our years covering races. Having you as a guest, we can't just go by. So we want to give you some time to maybe think about an anecdote you want to share with us about your life in motorsports, something, I mean, whatever you speak about Sebastian Buemi, there's probably two videos that are very popular in YouTube, and you know which are those. One of them in China with the car having no wheels at the front when you hit the brakes, and then the other one 3 years ago in Montreal, which was, it keeps adding numbers every time people play on it. But is there any other anecdote you would like to to share with us?
But I think you touched on the main ones. But no, I have another one that obviously ended up very well. But I was doing a show run in Japan when one of the marshals decided to cross the road in front of me. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube as well. And the guy managed to jump over the car. I mean,
That's
got
fantastic.
Touched by the rear wing, but. I mean, it could have been very, very bad. And in the end, the guy, he stood up and he had nothing. But I was driving at 80 km/h and he basically jumped in front of the car. I couldn't see it coming. So, yeah, if you get a second, you'll watch that on YouTube.
What were your thoughts on that moment? Like when you said, what did you
say? You know, we had this big Red Bull arch. So I was just driving up and down, you know, and in Japan, it's very difficult to organize a show run. So obviously everything needs to go perfect. And he basically came from nowhere and I had no time to realize. A little bit like in China when I lost both wheels, you know, you have no time to realize. It happened before you can say anything. So yeah, I mean, at the end, I'm happy it all went well, but it's pretty impressive on TV. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your
thank
time,
you.
Sebastian. We wish you the best, for the rest of the year and obviously for your trip to Santiago and the start of the Formula E season with Nissan E-Dams. Thank you very much for your time and Shell also, Shell Mexico, for giving us the opportunity to share these minutes with you. So best of luck, Sebastian.
Gracias.
Thank you very much.
Bye, thank you.
Gracias.
Au revoir.
Gracias a todos. Gracias a Sebastián Buemi. Un agradecimiento especial a Shell México. Y continúen aquí con Fórmula Latina. Nos veremos después del Gran Premio de Abu Dhabi.
Se viene el final, atención, va a ganar. ¡Ganó!
El mexicano estaría anunciando su fichaje en las próximas horas.
Vamos a los acontecimientos en un circuito súper exigente de 6 kilómetros.
La victoria de Hamilton lo deja apenas a 7 de las 91, el récord de Michael Schumacher.
Y allí ingresa Checo Pérez al corralito, luego de un gran premio de Mónaco apasionante.
Fórmula Latina.